I'm almost 10 minutes late.
That's early for us.
I know. We're on a good schedule here. All right, Pat. I'm going to put you on the spot. So, okay. As you know, I've been playing...
Put me on blast, Max.
I'm putting you on blast. As you know, I've been playing a ton of Overwatch. I go home every night now, and it's like the only... I am so stressed out the last couple of months just thinking about election stuff. Like, the amount it's truly becoming obsessive for me that, like, I wake up in the middle of the night and, like, I check Twitter because I can't sleep because I'm worried about what's happening while I'm in the middle of the night during the, you know, related to the election. Like, I'm just expending just a tremendous amount of mental energy on the election. So playing Overwatch for a couple hours every night, that's like the one thing that's like takes my mind off of it. And it's like not election related. Although sometimes I do listen to election related podcasts while I play Overwatch. But anyway, when I started playing Overwatch,
that's like saying, you know, like I've got a real heroin problem, but I find that, you know, some methamphetamine really takes the edge off the heroin addiction. Although sometimes, you know, when I'm doing the meth, you know, I chase it a little bit with,
well, it's like you're already high on the meth. It's like, what's the only thing that can make this better is a little heroin. So it's like, it's just a logical conclusion.
I suppose,
come on. But, Anyway, so when I started my playing Overwatch and I started my Battle.net account, I just wanted to check out the game that everyone was excited about. Like, I didn't know I was going to be putting like 100 hours into it. So I picked I don't really have any sort of like gamer tag or like name for myself. So I just typed in like Max Temkin, and my like Overwatch name is like Max Temkin and then some numbers that it like randomly adds on. So it's becoming like a problem because like if I'm like tired and I play shitty, I don't necessarily want people to know it's me. But B, like I occasionally get recognized as like, because people know my name from Twitter or whatever, and I hate that as well because I'm not trying to like have a conversation with someone. I just want to play Overwatch. But right. So I've been thinking for like a month, every time I play Overwatch, I'm like, fuck, I should really think of a gamer tag, like a cool anonymous like gamer tag for myself. And I'm just like blocked. I just have like I just cannot think of one clever name. And occasionally I see a good, usually it's like a pun name that I see that I'm like, that's a clever gamer tag. Like I'm super into that. Or someone who has just a really cool word, like, you know, I just played against someone whose name was like Slug, and I was like, that's awesome, they got Slug. Like, that's a great just like, I just like that that's their thing, and they like got it, they like nailed it on Battle.net. So Pat, I'm stuck here and I need some sort of gamer tag that expresses my identity.
Can you actually go in and change it, or so would you have to now, create a whole new account?
Let me tell you about what the options are here. So I've had a Battle.net account since I was like probably 10 years old, and I played Diablo 2 online, or no, Jesus Christ, Diablo 1 online with people, or StarCraft, original StarCraft online with people, and you get one free time to change your name on Battle.net, so hence the high stress.
I say there is high stakes. Oh, you say one free one. Does that mean like you pay for the rest?
Yeah, you're gonna pay $10 for the rest.
$10. But yeah, I follow you.
So I would like to end this podcast with a new gamer tag that I can go with for myself. But broader question: How do you? I'm not really a fiction writer, so I never really have this issue. Except when I'm like rolling a D&D character and I'm similarly embarrassed and scared of doing the wrong thing and just completely blocked. But how do you come up with a character name?
It's hard. Maybe it's easier for other people, but for me, I put a lot of work into the names. I obsess about it more than just a little bit.
When it strikes me too, like, I feel like a lot of times authors have a bad name or a weird name or something that's conspicuous, or I don't know, it's just weird. But you like you're pretty forgiving as a reader if you care about the story. It just, you don't, usually you don't get hung up on that stuff. Except in your books, it's all about names, and you have a character who names, who's the master namer who names things. So you're kind of saying, as the author, you're like, come on, I dare you. Like, come at me.
Right. Well, it's even worse than that. I have, you know, a character who's, you know, supposed to be good at naming, but also, like, it launches the story, and he gets billed as a master storyteller. And, you know, like, even as I was sitting down to write it, I'm like, fuck, I've really painted myself into a corner here. He can't be charmingly, you know, charmingly clumsy. He can't, like, cute kitten his way out of this storytelling thing. He's got to fucking kind of knock it out of the park with the first swing. So here's what we should probably do, right? Mm-hmm. We got a little bit better than half an hour of the podcast left. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we should do is we should come up with some ideas for a name. Mm-hmm. And instead of calling you Max, what I'll do is I'll call you by that gamer tag. Mm-hmm. Because that's like a test that I've heard people use for kid names. Like when you pick a name for your kid, you should
What do you think of the thing people do with their kids where they don't name them and they like wait until they're like three or whatever. And you figure out their personality.
I'm on the cusp of that. I would never like not name a child until they're three. I want to bet that there's psychological shit that happens to a kid if they have no name.
Well, that's how you, that's what you got to do to become a sovereign citizen, though, is you can't fill out any of the birth certificate paperwork because that's how they get you.
Well,
and then you're in the system, Pat.
That's actually something that happened to us because, like I said, obsessive name person here, you know, above and beyond what happens in my books. And so then I had a kid. And I wasn't going to pick a name before this kid was born because that's kind of a dick move. You know, you haven't even met this person yet. And you're like, I think Clarice sounds fun. So you're Clarice forever because, you know, I'm a fan of Silence of the Lambs. It's like, what the fuck? You know, this kid's going to carry this name around for the rest of their life. So, you know, we hung out. We met him. One of the rules is you should go onto the back porch and you shout the child's entire name off the back porch because it's sort of like a functional stress test.
What do you mean that's one of the rules?
No, this is like if you're naming a child, because think about it, you know, you're going to use like the kid's first name. You're just hanging around and talking to him, mm-hmm. You know, and so – but the other thing is when are you going to use the full name? When you're pissed at them or when they're outside playing and you want to call them in, you know,
backwoods, like corn fed, like Midwestern, like traditions. No one does this. No one in the big city goes out on their balcony and like yells out their kid's name and the neighbors are like, shut up, we're sleeping.
You know, I hate to break this to you. You know, I'm a bit of a country mouse, but you realize the vast majority of the country actually does not live in great metropolitan areas. I am not the outlier, Max. You are.
I guess.
I mean, just statistically.
I mean, it's where all the Trump voters live.
Okay, there's your one. Mm-hmm. There's your one. We're gonna score this one the way we did the NerdCon podcast.
Oh, we're limited to three.
Limited to three.
Yeah.
You just wasted Christ. One. And even if you're not shouting it off the porch, think of it. Like when you get in trouble, mom brings out the full name. And so like mine works pretty well, you know? Patrick James Rothfuss. Like you can kind of get angry at that name.
You sound like an evil king that rules poorly and will be deposed by the people.
Well, and you know, look at my name. Patrick and James are both king names. There's probably a little something to that. So yeah, I worked on my first boy's name for a solid month. He had no name.
Wow, you came up with Oot?
Just to clarify, because it's something that ends up kind of worrying people, I did not actually name my son Oot. Oot was his nickname when he was in the belly. You know, in utero, where you can maybe see where the word Oot comes from there. But then after he was born, we spent a long time talking about names. And you know, and believe me, nothing pisses off your friends and family as much as not being able to refer to the child by a name. You know, they want a monogram, like a onesie, and you're like, nope. Sorry, kid doesn't have a name yet. But yeah, so I'm just saying that this, it might be hard for me to help you within the time frame of 30 minutes. But here's the thing. Would you like a clever pun, like a cool sounding word, or a play off your name?
That's interesting. Any of those, I'm open to a good execution of any of those, but I will tell you, well, and before we, like, I'm also curious, like, if you have any sort of, like, theory of naming or, like, theory of what makes a good character name or a good name. Like, so I have a somewhat of a theory of, like, product names, which is, so I have sort of a you know it when you see it name, the right name when you see it philosophy. And usually we'll sort of throw around a bunch of names. Some of them are like joke names or dumb names or self-effacing or like bad puns or whatever. And you try and see like what sticks. Like you use a variety of names. Like when we were playtesting Secret Hitler, we really pushed for it to be called Kill Hitler because that's a much more reasonable title for a name. Because
punchier.
It's like there's no ambiguity as to like whether we're pro or con on the Hitler issue, right? It's like, you know, people would be like weirdly more okay with a game that's Kill Hitler than Secret Hitler, I think. And we did definitely got some blowback on the name. But regardless, when we tried to call it Kill Hitler, it didn't matter because people still called it Secret Hitler. It's like once we gave it that name, it was done. And, you know, we tried a variety of Secret Dictator and Find the Fascist and all of these Tommy liked obfuscation.
That is a great example. I could not have picked a better example of you know, it's clever. You know, it's super clever. I don't deny that. I don't want to throw any shade there, but that's a great example of a name that is bad. You know, it's bad because all, instead of like, what is the game or how should you feel or is this catchy? The only thing that name does is somebody's patting themselves on the back for being so fucking clever.
Yes. And that brings me to the most crucial part of my name philosophy, which is don't try too hard. Like the best names, the most memorable best names are names that, if you have to err on one side or the other, it should sound like you've not tried at all. It should sound like a lazy name that's a lazy joke. Cards Against Humanity is a lazy pun. It's a bad name. It's a bad pun. It's like it's really a not clever pun that does not hold up to scrutiny. But we tried a bunch of names, and that like awful like lazy name, there was something that was just sticky about it. It was like so not – it was so like not try hard. It was such a slacker name that it was like it kind of gave you a little bit of the like aesthetic of what we were about, and it just sort of worked for us. But we were also testing out this name Kartenfreude that's probably a better pun, I think, if you know, sort of like intellectually and you know, tells you what the game is about and all that kind of thing. But like, no, it was just not sticky. Like it was trying so hard. The pun was trying so hard. It was like people were like didn't want to say it.
You know, and I will say, Kartenfreude?
Kartenfreude, yeah.
You know, honestly, that's clever. You know, and
it's clever, but it didn't stick. Like we couldn't get people to. They were like, let's play that card game. We couldn't get them to remember the name.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's clever, and also it is. You know, I will admit I dig that, but you know, stickiness, I think, should almost be. I'm trying to think. It should almost be a qualifier for some of this. Also, I will say, just to comment on it, I'm trying to think. Secret Hitler is, I think it's dactylic. It's not, fuck, what does Shakespeare write?
Iambic pentameter?
Yeah, they're not iams. It's the reverse of an iam.
Now that's the dog food?
No, okay. It is not. Okay. Although I give you full points for that one. Secret Hitler follows a straight up metrical pattern that we find those things appealing even if we're never aware of them. None of the other names that you mentioned have.
That's so funny. Sometimes when we're like playtesting cards or like testing out jokes, like where it's completely puzzling to us, like why one joke works and the other doesn't, or like why one version works and the other doesn't. And sometimes it's just because like the word is funny and or it has like the right number of syllables to like fill the phrase in a pleasing way. And it is interesting, like how much of that like subconscious, like poetry affects how you take in a name or an idea.
Yeah, usually I don't do it consciously a lot, but sometimes if something is working really well, I look at it and I'm like, why is this working well? And I realize if I've fallen into something naturally, I'll go in and I'll strengthen it until I don't want to make it visible, but if it's working already and it's acting in a compelling way, I'm going to try to reinforce it. It's a trochee. That's what it is. It's a trochee. It goes stressed, unstressed instead of unstressed, stressed.
Oh, it's like very Japanese. Like I think all Japanese words are trochees, right?
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
Huh. I did not know that.
I think the whole language is like that.
Huh. I know that English tends to naturally fall into iambic if you're, you know, and most of like Robert Frost's stuff, which you can just almost talk like prose, whose woods these are. I think I know his house is in the village, though. It's all just purely iambic. But then there's like a great line or a great couplet. It says, the old dog barks backwards without getting up. I can remember when he was a pup. That first line is all stoichic, where it's there's single metrical feet. It's like it goes stomp, stomp, stomp. You can't kind of flow that first line when you speak it. And then the later ones, I think, are anapests. They're kind of jumpy. I can remember when he was a pup. It kind of bounces. This is some like serious don't look behind the curtain. This is what the wizard is doing shit for me. Like
how did you pick the name? How did you settle on the names of Name of the Wind and the second book, which I can never remember that. Wise Man's Fear. Wise Man's Fear, which I find to be a thoroughly unmemorable title.
Yeah. Honestly, thematically, Name of the Wind is a good title. It sticks. It's sticky.
I'll tell you where it threw me off a little was, and maybe this was intent. Well, I'm curious. Maybe you'll get to this in your sort of story of choosing it, but it threw me off a little bit as the reader, especially also because there's that establishing story about the magician, and he learns the Name of the Wind and he flies out of the tower, and I sort of wrongly assumed that was the key plot point of the whole story in all the books, and it turns out to have been. It's like when you think you're on the main quest in an RPG, but it turns out that you just finished the quest and the game keeps going because it wasn't the main quest.
Yeah. Management of expectation. Well, and there's a big difference between a title and a name. There's some similarities, but in terms of, for me, it's actually much easier to name places or a concept, because coming up with a cool word is fun for me. I'm very proud of the city Tinue. That's a great name. I love the name of Tinue. But you know, a lot of fantasy books are guilty of what I consider the keyboard mash. You know, like it's Gricknigger, you know, or something is the barbarian's name, or you know, and actually, I've started kind of playing this game with my kids. I'll like last night in bed with them, we're hanging out, and I said, "You're Pookadook, and you are Bebo." you know, and they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. You are Flub, and you are, Jinkin Maximar, Felictor the Third, you know? And, you know, I'll throw out a lot of these weird names, but some of them actually kind of hang around. Like Pookadook is a great fucking name. It's like a lot of fun to say, and I can remember it. And the kids constantly say, "You're Pookadook.
Pookadook.
You're Pookadook.
Pookadook." It's very it really rolls off the tongue.
Exactly. You know, if we could try that for your gamer tag, Pookadook. It's just a fun name.
I don't know. Here's my concern: is I don't know for sure that would strike fear into the hearts of my enemies.
Oh no! See, you didn't say that you wanted fear too.
Well, I don't know. I mean, here's what I'd like. Here's what I'd like, Pat. I'd okay. either like a name that strikes fear into the hearts of my enemies, or a name that indicates that I don't care so much that I don't even mind when I'm losing.
Well, okay. Well, and ideally both, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, something that indicates that depending – if I'm doing well, I want it to indicate that I care intensely, and if I'm losing, that I could barely be bothered to pay attention to the game.
Okay, well, how about this? Let me pitch to you a name that is kind of similar but the opposite of that, because when you were winning, mm-hmm. you were winning like without hardly even trying in an effortless way because of your mastery of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
I like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when you are losing, you're losing, but it's not that big a deal because you are really a cool person, successful in all elements of your life, like with a huge dick, right?
I don't know if there's enough characters for that.
you can't hyphenate it. That's the tricky part. But is that kind of what you're going for?
Oh, so much so.
Okay, so let me think here. You know, you wouldn't mind a pun, but we shouldn't focus on a pun.
It can't be a pun that's like that good either, because that indicates how much work. See, here's the thing is I care so much, Pat. I care so much and I'm trying so hard. But all yep. I want to convey is the image of having not tried at all.
Yep.
Because that's humiliating.
Yep. No, I hear you.
It's like when Hillary shows up at these debates and she's like really prepared and she has all these like statistics and answers, like, ugh, like why, like, ugh, like, what, look at, oh, try hard, like sitting at the front of the class, like nobody likes that.
Look at little Missy does her fucking job.
Yeah, I mean, come, like, jeez, like,
who does their fucking job?
Like, who are you trying to impress by knowing all this stuff? Like, calm down, Jesus.
Well, you know, that's my whole strategy for, like, my entire aesthetic, you know? It's like, oh, here's Pat. Wearing one of his identical black shirts mm-hmm. and his one pair of cargo shorts. Mm-hmm. It looks like he has not had his yearly haircut recently. but, you know, nobody looks at that and goes, huh, you know, those socks don't match. You know, it's like you can't stick any fashion bullshit on me because I'm absolutely not fucking playing that game. Okay, so how many characters can this be?
That is a great question. Let me open up the page here. Let's see. Okay, it doesn't have to be unique. That's interesting, too. You can actually have the same battle tag as someone else, and it just sort of appends these hidden numbers at the end of it. The battle tag must be between 3 to 12 characters long. Accented characters are allowed. Numbers are allowed, but a tag cannot start with a number. Mixed capitals are allowed, so you can't have capitalization. No spaces or symbols are allowed. And it cannot break the rules established in our code of conduct, which let me also open that up. Props to Blizzard for that.
Code of conduct?
Yeah.
Or having it readily available?
Both.
I bet you it's a bullshit, vaguely worded thing, though.
Well, but that's good, though, because it gives them the freedom to editorially ban names that are in poor taste. They're a private company that they should do that.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean you word it vaguely. That's like saying we want to do whatever we want, so we're going to give you guidelines that mean shit.
I guess. Battle tags must be appropriate and offensive. Well, that's very specific.
You know, what this means, Max, is
what actually, it mean, Pat?
I've got to back away from a name that is too good because I've seen you. You're a good player, but and I say this with love in my heart. You're not A+.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're a solid A.
Mm-hmm.
But if I give you an A+ name,
I don't know, the statistics on the Battle.net server beg to differ.
But here's the danger, right?
Okay.
If I give you an A, okay, how about this? A triple A+ name,
uh-huh.
And they look at your stats and they're like, he's good, mm-hmm. But he's like, he's just an A.
I'm not a competitive level player.
They'll flag it as inappropriate because I've given you a name that looks too tough and sexy.
Okay.
You know, see, and that's why the problem with these non-specific guidelines for things. Okay, so you could go. I'm just going to start spitballing them out here because we're running out of time.
Okay.
And here's another factor. Who do you main?
That's a great question. My main go-to character in most situations is D.Va, but I am very flexible. I'll play a healer. I will play Reinhardt. I will play I'll play Torbjorn on defense if we need a little turret guy. I'll play DPS. Hell, I'll play a little Soldier 76 if that's what the team needs. I'm a flexible good team player, Pat.
Okay. So,
By the way, I feel like for I don't know when how the order of this is all going to air, but we during our live NerdCon the reason it's on my mind is during our live NerdCon panel, we sort of brainstormed this idea of, for World Builders this year, we would do an Overwatch tournament where it would be like the World Builders versus cards versus, you know, I don't know, some of our other friends who have company, you know, in the pop culture, like gaming space, and it'll be like a bracket and people can bet on it and all that money goes to World Builders. So I'm really thinking like I got to like really step up my practice here, like get a sweet battle tag.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. I've I'm not saying that I've already started to recruit, but I have.
Is it going to be all ringers? Are we going to go to play you and it's, you've like hired all these like 14-year-old Korean boys that are just going to humiliate us?
Well, you know, I think we do have to agree to a certain sense of fair play. Like I can only bring in people who are legitimately attached to World Builders. Now, admittedly, like our shadow is long, but you know, on your hand, you employ way more people and you guys like play fucking video games. My people are, I love them, but they're kind of fucking useless in terms of video games.
We had some sort of a cow milking contest, you guys would really take us. some 4-H shit. Who can chase down a chicken and rip its head off?
That's not 4-H.
I don't know. I don't know what happens.
the whole chicken mutilation. Maybe it is. I've never actually been to 4-H either, so it could be that you're right. There may be some horseshoeing. We'll do some cornholing, Max. We'll have a cornhole tournament.
I believe that's the domain of like a drunken college frat pros.
No,
I think they exclusively have the cornhole skills.
I'm a great cornholer. See, they're actually, Max, we've stumbled into it.
Mm-hmm.
Cornholer. There's your gamer tag.
Cornholer.
Cornholer.
Hang on, let me yell it out. Let me yell it out into the office.
Go
and see
yell
what
it
happens.
Off the back porch 10 times.
Hang on. Here's what I'll do is I don't wanna leave our whole thing, but I'll go out and yell these into the I'll make a little recording of me going out into the office to yell these out to people and we'll see what it takes. So I'll put that down. It's an option, cornholer. I'm not really I don't know that it's gonna strike fear into the hearts of the enemies, but
It would strike some fear into me, Max.
Okay.
If I was walking down a dark alley and somebody came up to me and they had a name tag on and it said cornholer,
they might think I'm like a drunk football fan who's like tailgating out on the lawn and mindlessly throwing beanbags into a little wooden thing. That's what cornhole is, right?
It is. And honestly, I have just recently realized that game is called cornholing, which is why I bring it to all of you. This is a source of joy in my life that there are like cornhole leagues.
Yeah, whenever there are, when you see those the football bros and they're all like out on the lawn like drinking at 10 in the morning and they're like pumped up and full of energy and testosterone. They're just out there cornholing each other.
Yeah. Hey, dude, do you want to go cornhole? There's semi-professional cornholers in the world is just what I want you all to take away from this podcast this week.
Professional cornholer is a better name.
Pro cornhole.
Cornhole pro. Okay, we're getting somewhere.
Yep, we're evolving. I think that's definitely the second evolution of the Pokemon cornhole.
Mm-hmm. It's mega evolved into Cornhole Pro. I wouldn't put it past them. They've fully given up on making Pokemon now. There's like the new Pokemon. I know I sound like an old man whenever I complain about this, but the new Pokemon are fucking crazy. There's one that's just like a set of keys, and it's like, yeah, this really? One's like keys. It's just a bunch of keys. There's one that's like a painter. It's like, what is it? Like a cat that like paints with its tail, and it's like, yeah, oh, it's the artist Pokemon. I think there's like a coin Pokemon. There's like two swords that dance around. Like there's one called Garbodon that's just garbage. I feel like you could tell what happened there was like they were in the meeting where they come up with the new Pokemon and they needed like 150 new ones, but they only came up with 149, and it was due, and it was like 4:50 in the afternoon, and they're like, everyone's frantically looking around this like conference room, and they're like, what about a garbage Pokemon?
Done. Right. Okay. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go to lunch.
Garbodor would. Now, hang on a minute. Garbodor would be a great gamer tag.
Hey, Garbodor.
Let me see what his different evolutions are. Garbodor. There's one. No, do you know about the pig? There's one called. It's a starter from Pokemon Black and White, and it's called Tepig, and it's a little fire based pig. Get it? Tepig. And then it evolves into Pignite, and then that evolves into Emboar. That's probably name wise the best Pokemon.
See, Emboar, I get.
Tepig.
Is that supposed to be tepid?
Yeah.
But tepid refers more to water. That really bothers me.
It's a temperature, and then Pignite. Come on.
Yeah, that's fine if it's temperature, but I'm assuming this pig actually shoots fire. It doesn't just get warm.
Well, when it's a little cute one, I think it just gets warm, maybe. Okay, Garbodor is the final evolution of the garbage Pokemon. The garbage Pokemon, of course, starts out as Trubbish.
Now, Trubbish is pretty good. I got to give him Trubbish.
Trubbish is pretty good. Maybe I'll just be Garbodor. I really find Garbodor to be extremely funny as a concept and a name.
You know, I will say Garbodor is nice. It's a little, you know, it's off the beaten track enough. Like I would never identify that as a Pokemon name. It's a final evolution. So you have like an implication of strength.
Mm-hmm. I would say Garbodor, in the Pokemon meta is one of the most feared Pokemon, that you could have.
Really?
No.
Okay. I know nothing about Pokemon, so
can I read you? Can I read you from the Bulbapedia? That's like the Pokemon Wikipedia. The description of it: Garbodor has the appearance of a pile of trash spilling out of a large torn garbage bag. It has a round,
it's
lumpy.
Not even a garbage can.
No, it's a garbage bag. It has a round, lumpy body. Finally, something I can identify with that is mostly tan with blue and pink lumps. Its head is the appearance of the tied end of a garbage bag that has been ripped open and trails down like a cape. It has two appendages that look like clumps of garbage coming from its head. Its large round eyes have small pupils, and when it opens its mouth, its large triangular teeth can be seen. I'm sold. This is a great name.
That is a pretty good name.
Now I actually need to know the story. What was the process of coming up with the title, Name of the Wind and Wise Man's Fear?
The process was kind of sucking at it for 10 years, then eventually having a deadline and needing to fucking pull the trigger on something.
Is that up to the author? Does the publisher have a hand in it? Like, I honestly have no idea how all that works.
Well, the publisher only the dickest of publishers would ever like really try to stomp in and completely retitle your book. That said, the title of a book is, you know, it's a huge element of the marketing. And a lot of times, you know, a publisher will come in and say, are you super sure? Like, for example, I think Catch 22, I was originally going to be Catch 19, which sounds like a joke, but I'm not fucking with you. Although it might not have been 19, Catch 22 original title. You still there?
Yeah.
Oh God, this article is long. Is there something like Wikipedia, but is there like a Spark Notes for Wikipedia?
There is actually, there's like,
God damn it. That was a joke. I'd hate it when my jokes are real things.
There is. If you go to simple.wikipedia.com, it's like everything is condensed for like, so like a kid could read it.
Oh Jesus. I'm so angry now about that.
Well, it's like a sliding scale. It's like in the age of Wikipedia, the man who reads Wikipedia has all the knowledge.
Right.
So then everybody, you need something simpler than that to summarize it. Everybody
else gets all of their facts off the back of a fucking cereal box. Okay. Original title. Opening chapter. Oh, it was originally Catch 18.
Mm-hmm.
But Heller's agent requested that he change the title of the novel so it wouldn't be confused with another recently published World War II novel, Mila 18.
There must be something to what we were talking about before with sort of like the poetry of it. There must be some reason why Catch 22 sounds so cool and Catch 18 sounds so lame.
Well, 18 is super name, but here it says, you know, the number 18 has special meaning in Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And it was relevant to early drafts of the novel, which had a somewhat greater Jewish emphasis. The title Catch 11 was suggested, with the duplicated one paralleling the repetition found in a number of character exchanges in the novel. But unfortunately, because of the release of the 1960 movie Ocean's 11, that was also rejected, as was Catch 14. Apparently because the publisher did not feel that, oh, that 14 was, quote unquote, a funny number. Eventually, the title
came. It's not. I don't know why, but it's not.
It's not. No, 14 is not funny. But honestly, yeah, Catch 22. I mean, just think of the rhythm of that. Da-da-da-da. I mean, that's a nice pattern. 22 is satisfying. You have a repetition of the of that fricative T. Is the T fricative? Or see, I don't know the terminology for all of these word bits.
I know from listening to George Carlin albums that there's such a thing as the bilabial fricative.
That's, I don't know what it is, but it sounds sexy as hell.
Okay. So finish your out with this story. How did you, what was the process of coming up with the names? With the titles?
The original, well, part of it is that in my head, I'd always thought of this as a book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought of a title for it. And originally that title, which I cringe a little to remember, was The Song of Flame and Thunder. Which, I don't know. It makes sense if you know, like, the first, what was originally the first page of the book where Kvothe is talking about his name. you know, so it's thematically appropriate, but it is an awful goddamn title. It rolled around. We needed a name for the series too. And we ended up with, you know, The King Killer Chronicle, which isn't a bad title, but I will also admit is not a great one.
See, that also threw me off because it also, well, I guess we haven't really, I don't think when, yeah, we're not really into this thread of the story yet, but the king killing thus far has not been like the main plot line, the main, you know, sort of RPG plot quest either.
Yeah. Well, part of it is that, you know, again, that series title, like, what is the title for?
It does tease me every time there's a king gets mentioned or introduced in the book. I'm like, oh shit, here we go.
Yep, the series title and the book title, in some ways, you know, they're marketing tools. It's supposed to engage your curiosity, you know, but also they're like the title of a poem, where the title of the poem should potentially add something to the poem itself. Otherwise, you've really wasted an opportunity. You know, but yeah, titling and naming, they're all kind of closely related. Eventually, I think we settled on Name of the Wind. Because we went through a ton of names. I should probably see if I can find that document somewhere. But I remember, you know, desperately trying to come up with a better name for the first book. Although, honestly, I think it's the good name for this first book. I'm very fond of Wise Man's Fear. Although I think of all the titles I've come up with, Slow Regard of Silent Things is like the most like artsy, up my own ass, that's bullshitty.
That's my favorite title.
But it's my favorite title. Yeah,
yeah, it's a absolutely. Great title. That has the stickiness of like, it's so long and specific, but everybody remembers it on the first try.
Yep.
And it's also like easily shortened to like Slow Regard. Like, it's just a, it's a good, it's a solid title.
Yeah.
Do you find that people have trouble remembering the second one?
Probably a little bit more. Now here's the interesting thing, and this, I think this is really significant. Slow Regard is only titled that in the U.S.
Oh, interesting.
Because think about it, and it won't be a surprise as soon as you think of it. Because, I mean, do you speak any other languages at all?
No, I barely speak English.
Like, how would you translate that?
Well, it's like...
Because here's the thing.
Thinking slowly about something quiet.
Yeah, exactly. Thinking slowly about something quiet. It doesn't translate because it actually does not mean anything. You know, the slow regard of silent things... It's like it's, you know.
Why does it sound so cool?
It sounds cool because part of it's rhythmic, part of it's metric, part of it is just here's your word for the day. It's euphonious. The pieces of the word have good sounds that sound good together.
Hmm.
But the problem is it quite literally cannot be translated because it literally has no direct explicit meaning, which is perfect for this particular book. All over the rest of the world, it is called The Music of Silence.
Oh, that's pretty good too.
Yeah, which is okay. And honestly, it probably sounds better in other languages because other languages have different words for things. I'm also pretty happy with Doors of Stone. The editor fought me for a while. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know if that's a good title, but I'm very happy with Doors of Stone.
For a book I've been waiting for 2 years, it turns out to be a pretty good, it's pretty tempting title.
Well, what's funny
What's in there?
I'd mentioned it, like I'd sort of had the Doors of Stone in my head as a potential title for a while, but it wasn't. And then Betsy's like, you know, let's not make any announcements. Let's just, you know, let's wait until the book is finished and then see what hangs on it best. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. But because I'd mentioned it like very briefly once or twice, then it had ended up on, you know, Wikipedia. Then it ends up on Amazon. Then it ends up on Goodreads, and it propagates from there. So at this point, we're obliged to, which is fortunate because I'm fond of the name. But yeah, so Garbodor.
I already changed it. It's done.
I will say Garbodor is pretty solid, and I wish I'd had a chance to tackle that and come at it. But you know, I don't think you have a month. You don't want to wait a month for me to come up with, you know, 18.
Well, if you come up with a good name, you know, I'll yell it out in the office and see what people think. And I can always pay the $10 and change it. But I'm going to roll with roll with Garbodor for a couple weeks and see how that goes.
I will just say you already are already committed to shout cornhole in your office at least 3 times.
I'm going to do it once and we'll see what happens.
Well, it's okay. That's fine. Everyone will just think that you've developed Tourette's. Although, you know, if you were out there, you know, and you're like, you stand up at your computer, it's like Garbodor. It's like sort of like Beetlejuice. Like, who knows what the fuck you would summon?
I think everyone would be cool with it because it's like, they're, what are they going to do? Like, if I go crazy, we're all in a lot of trouble here. So I think everyone's like, all right, I guess that's the new thing now, as we all listen to Max standing on his desk and yell Garbodor.
I wonder, my people must already have a Pat loses his shit contingency plan.
Oh, there's a folder.
there's like just a case on the wall with a glass front. It's got a trank, a trank gun, and one of those tools that you use to like castrate pigs.
Pat, here's the thing. If you die in a in some sort of poetically ironic way before the third book comes out, and someone has to reconstitute the book from your like leavings, from your like notes and scraps, and it comes out as this like disappointing like third folio with like a lot of like footnotes explaining like that we couldn't quite interpret what you meant. Can I write the really forlorn foreword?
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, oh, before his time, cruel fate.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally want that. Well, yeah, honestly, you know, do that anyway. You know, just write that. Write that forward. And
I'll never forget the day that Pat came up with my battle tag, Garbodor.
It was the last time we spoke. You know, if only I had known that was the last conversation, I would have more immediately embraced the name Cornhole, which is now what I have named my first child, Cornhole Jenny Temkin.
All right, I think we're good.